Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to PODNUTS Daily, episode number 485. Show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by Kenneth Litzy from Litzy Tech Services. Welcome to the show, Kenneth.
Hey, thank you.
Good to have you on the show. So it sounds like you are full-time in your business, but it also sounds like that you started off maybe part-time and you have quite a story to tell. So why don't you go ahead and give us a little background on you, maybe from the beginning of what really got you interested in tech repair and computer repair and move forward from there?
Well, I mean, I've always been interested in tech, even from back when I was in high school and whatnot. And I actually started doing repair like in the early 2000s. I was just doing friends' computers or family or what have you. And I kind of progressively just did that for a long time. I was working at the airport like in the late 90s. And somebody was like, hey, you know, you're repairing all these computers on the curbside, because I was working as a SkyCat. We have computer problems and issues on the curb. And this guy's like, why don't you go into business or go get a job somewhere? And I was like, I don't have a degree. So I ended up going back to school, graduated in 2002. Of course, I walked right into the tech bubble bursting.
Oh.
So coming right out of there, and I'm like, oh, can't get a job. So I kind of just shuffled along doing stuff on the side while I'm working. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I got to make this a business, because I got old enough to be like, well, I was in my mid-30s by that time. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to be going into a job and there's like 25-year-olds and they're going to be my boss.
Right.
I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and start my own business. I understand what to do. But, you know, as I got into it, I didn't understand the business end. And so for those first couple of years, I was struggling.
Well, and that's very common for somebody to get into the business and not really know how to do business. We're good at what we do, which is fixing computers. Mm-hmm. Now you take this thing where you go, hey, let's create our own business. It'd be nice sometimes almost to have a business manager, but obviously in the beginning, we can never afford that. And really, as you start to learn things and do it on your own, it's perfectly fine anyways. You figure out that, hey, it's not as hard as I thought it was. There's a learning curve, but I can learn anything that I need to. I learned how to fix computers. I can learn how to run a business.
Yeah. And the one thing going into it, I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll go around the tech shops and just introduce myself to people and, you know, maybe just start collaborating and networking, because I'm always good at that. So I started going to tech shops in my area on the southeast side of Chicago, and I wasn't getting a warm reception. It was like, you know, the enemy just walked through the door, you know, the guy that's going to take my business away from me. And I'm like, what is going on? You know, I go into one shop and I'm like, the guy's like totally non-receptive, and he's like, yeah, okay. I'm just trying to do my work and whatever. And so I leave. There's a lady that comes out right after me, and I'm standing there and the lady's talking to me. She's like, oh my God, I just really hate this place. You know, but it's the only place close by to take my computer. They just don't know how to talk to you. And it inspired me, because for 7 years I worked at the airport. You know, I was a SkyCap, I was a wheelchair pusher. I was all this. So I knew how to talk to people. I knew my tech. And I was like, well, I'm going to go into business. That's what inspired me. That was the inspiration moment. I was like, I can do this. And I can do this better than this guy, even though I'm not going to disparage anybody.
Right.
You know, but But he had the skills, but didn't have the customer service skills. And I was like, I want to bring that into the marketplace around here in this area. And that's what I ended up making the start.
You know, it's funny that, and I found this too back when I started, was that nobody really wanted to network, so to speak. And now I would go buy parts from local people and stuff like that, local shops and whatnot, when I needed them. And there were times that there were like specialty parts that I knew they had, but they wouldn't sell it to me. And the funny thing was, here I'm thinking, it as a brand new business owner, okay, I need a $2 part. I'm willing to pay you $25 or $50 for this part because I need it right now, versus going on eBay and ordering one when I know you have a drawer full of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as a business owner, I would think about it like this. Wait a minute. I can make, well, if the part costs $2, you know, I can make over $20 on this one item. Why wouldn't I?
Right. And they won't. And this is to get you know, I'm not going to sell you this. It happened to me once. I'm at a different shop. And you know, I'm getting this part because I'm down the street taking care of a client. So I'm like, I can walk down the street and get this part instead of having to drive all the way to a tech shop or go to Staples or go to, you know, or drive all the way up north to go to Micro Center or whatever. I said, well, I can just go down the street and get this part. I get down there and he's like, I don't have a part, but I can see it in the cabinet.
Oh. Yeah, it doesn't make, to me, I look at it like this. If you're better at your business than I am, and you steal my customer, quote unquote, then they weren't my customer anyways.
No.
So I don't understand why people get so frustrated and so irritated with supposedly competition when you could be as busy as all get out. There is going to become a ceiling, whether you're a single tech or you have a group of techs. There's only so much that can be handled on a day-to-day basis. Everybody thinks that, well, I live in an area where there's 30,000 people, so I'm gonna service all 30,000. Well, no, you're not. So don't even think that way. What you're gonna do is you're gonna find the customers that want to work with you, and that you want to work with them, and you're gonna create a relationship where it makes sense business wise, and they will be long term, forever customers.
Exactly, because I mean, I had customers. That, you know, they weren't quite working for me. But I knew a tech that was like, okay, I can get this person over to him because they'll work better together.
Right.
And I'll bring him in. And then he was like, yeah, this is a great client. Okay, thanks for giving me that client. And I'm like, cool. And, you know, I got single guys that'll do that. Like, you know, oh, man, I had this client. You know, I think he's more down your alley because I can't do it. And I'll be like, okay, well, you know, I'll go see him and it'll work out for me. And we do that back and forth. I mean, but that guy's gone now. He moved to another state, okay. You know, but that was a good relationship. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of relationship I look for. I got some of those going to one of the expo, the business expo that was downtown like about a couple months ago. I'm there and I'm talking to different tech companies, but these are the like Northside tech companies. You know, there's no Northside business. And they're really receptive and they really try to network with you. And I'm like, why can't I get that all the time?
Right.
Why can't I get that in my area?
It's that fear factor that people have that, like you said, you walk in, they're afraid you're gonna steal their business, and that's really not what it's about. Again, it's short-sighted on my part. And I remember when I didn't get that part from that computer shop, I said, that guy's shop will be gone in 3 years. And wouldn't you know it, in less than 3 years, it was gone.
Yep. Yep. In this area, there is like a chain. I think it's a chain because I see all the same different people in those places. One place already closed and there's two left. And so I'm like, look, man, just, you know, if you be receptive and a little more income, maybe you'd be cool. Maybe you'd be okay. But like one of the shops, I mean, the guy was just sitting there. So I'm like, okay. But getting off of that. We talked about that a long time.
So it sounds like, so you basically got started in business, started moving forward. What were the next steps that you took to move your business forward? Because like every business, not everything is as perfect as you would like it to be, right?
No, it's not as perfect. I mean, when I first started, I thought this was going to be easy, letting people know that I'm doing this, and you know, I'm going to put out stuff on social media, and I'm going to make flyers, I'm going to pass out flyers. I did all that, and I still didn't get maybe one third of the people that I knew that knew that I was in business.
Okay.
It took me 2 years to get the most of the people that I knew to know that I was in business. I was running into people, they're like, I didn't know you were in business. I've been in business for 2 years.
Now you know who's paying attention. Apparently you weren't paying attention to me.
Right. And so, yeah, that was the one thing for me. I'm bashful about marketing. And so I try to put it out there. I'm not really bold. I mean, you can hear me talking like now, and I'm really good at it, but I'm good at that one-on-one and that closed session to just close people. But to talk to a wider audience, it's like, okay, I'm a little bashful. So that's probably one reason, like, first 2 years, I didn't expand outside my friends and family, because that's what I was used to doing. I had to break out of that comfort zone and go talk to people that I did not know.
Well, and how did you go and pursue and find these other customers? I mean, did you do any type of advertising or how did that look?
Well, first thing I did, I started getting involved with my local chamber of commerce. Because I was at the point in time, I was doing just residential and I was trying to get over to the business end anyway. So I started to deal with the chamber of commerce. I actually joined the chamber of commerce. And I tried to expand my horizons out to business customers along the commercial strip, and people that live further south than me that were involved with the chamber and all the not-for-profits and other businesses that were involved.
Okay. So obviously the chamber definitely helped get your name out there and put you in contact with some people in the city and whatnot, and probably other businesses that were in that area. So mm-hmm. Now are you mostly residential? Are you residential and business? Is there a mix or mostly business?
It's a mix. I have two really strong business clients that keep me busy most of the time. I'm doing by appointment because I help my mother caregive for my grandmother. So I can't just open and say, I have open office hours and just come visit me. I have to have people kind of schedule me so that I can work around what I do at home.
Okay. So now do you go on site or do you have people actually come and drop off computers to you?
I go to them. Okay. Because right now I'm working out of my home. And of course, by Sony, you can't work at home.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I try to, you know, I go to them for the most part. I mean, if they got something small, you know, I'll get it. I usually use the chamber or some other business that allows me to come in there and do the work so I don't have to do it at home and mess up the zoning.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, you know, but most of the time I'm going to the client.
Okay. So yeah. And that makes more sense too. I think that I'm all about scheduling it. I guess the only time that would change for me is if I had a storefront and those doors were open. But other than that, I think when you're working out of your house or you're a mobile tech, I think a lot of times the scheduling is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, it's the way to go. I just have to groom my customers into remembering to schedule. They'll call me and they'll go, I got a problem. And you'll be like, I'm in the middle of taking care of my grandmother. I'm stuck here at the house today. and they're like, oh. Then I have to schedule them, and they're like, oh, okay, we'll get a schedule for tomorrow. I'm like, okay, I got you. And then that's it. So I have to get them accustomed to remembering to call and schedule, and not to call and say, yeah, I need you right now, unless it's really, really important and I really have to go. I'll do that. But usually it's not something, because I try to educate my clients along the way so that they don't call me at, like, the 11th hour.
Right. Well, And that's part of the problem, too, is a lot of times they wait until they can't get online or something is so horribly wrong with their computer that it's not booting or something. There are telltale signs for every breakdown that ever happens. But the problem is nobody actually looks at those signs and says, I probably should get this looked at and have somebody fix it before it gets to the point where I can't use it.
Mm-hmm. I've educated plenty of clients at the beginning when I first started. I'm like, they're calling me like, oh, something little's happened, but you know, I want to go get it fixed, but I'm going to call you back. I'm like, don't call me back like in 3 weeks because it's going to be broken by that point.
Right.
It's just like, no, that's okay. And 3 weeks later, they'll call me. It's not booting at all. And I'm like, I told you.
Right.
You know, I try to educate my clients. And it's like, somebody told me, another tech told me, oh, you shouldn't educate your clients. Just do the work. I'm like, why? Because now what you ended up doing is you're going to get a client that's going to come to you for the same problem. Over and over and over again.
I guess it's a mindset because I look at business and I look at it as I want to help solve your problems. Now, I want to be paid accordingly for the time and education that I put into figuring out how to solve your problems. But the reality is, I would hope that you're not going to have some of the problems that you're causing yourself. Mm-hmm. And if I educate you a little bit, that makes you be able to use your computer for a longer period of time or whatever. And then whatever with that relationship, whenever something does happen, you're going to come to me. And not only that, because I helped educate you, you're going to tell other people about me. And that's how that word of mouth marketing works. A lot of people look at it as a short-sighted way of doing business. It's what I call the turn and burn. I don't really care about the customer. I just want to get them in, get them out, get paid, call it a day, move on. I don't care if I ever see him again, versus the customer that is going to be your long-term, what we would call a client. And that's what we really want, I believe.
Right. Because I'm a person that's loyal to whoever I'm serving. You know, if I'm helping someone, I'm loyal to them to the point that I'm going to make sure that they're good. And I'm going to make sure that they understand what's happening. Because I had one client that he just refused to follow my directions. I was like, okay, you can't go to this site that you like to go to. We're not going to even tell you what type of site it was. But I'm like, look, you know, you can't go to that site. I was like, if you want to go to that site, you know, maybe, look, get a little trash computer. I'll put Linux on it. You can go to that site and play all day. But you can't go on this computer because you're going to see me every month. No matter what kind of virus protection I put on here, no matter what I do, because you're going to click on it, and that's going to execute, and it's going to mess up the computer. So just do it. And he's like, okay. And next month, I see him again.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I'm sitting here thinking, and I go, that's why Linux users actually love Linux so much. I just made about, you know, 10 people mad. But that's all right. Okay, so... Obviously, you became part of the chamber. Now, have you done any type of traditional marketing as far as flyers or Google AdWords or anything like that to get any more clientele to come in?
I did flyers. Flyers have marginal success. It's like you get a bunch of flyers out, and then it's like you get 2 calls and you give out 100 flyers. And you might get a couple of touches from folks that are just trying to see who you are. And that for me was like, I was like, okay, I'm going to spend all this money for this printing out and giving it out. And then like, for me, you know, I'm not going to walk around and give these flyers out. I'm going to go pay somebody.
Right.
You know, and you got to spend all this money for that. And you don't get a good turnaround. I was like, okay, it's not working for me. So I had to pull back from that. As far as AdWords, I haven't gotten into it. I'm going to tell you, this is the funniest thing. I'm the least tech users and tech person there is.
Really?
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm serious. It's like I know how to do it, but it's like I just won't go do it.
Right. I understand, because there are things that I look at it, and this is like any business. When you actually do this stuff, you don't really want to work on your own stuff because it becomes such a pain. Even though you can, back when you weren't getting paid to do it, it was fun. Now it's like, yeah, I still enjoy doing it, but I really only enjoy doing it when I get paid. So I don't want to work on my stuff for free because that's just costing me time. So I definitely get it. Now, I will say, if you're getting 2 clients out of 100 flyers, actually a 2% return on that is actually pretty good, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
If you were to tell me you put out 3,000 flyers and got 1 response, I'd say, yeah, that's not a very good return. But because here's the way I think about it. Any way that we do marketing, if you get your name out there and you get another 1 or 2 clients to come in, then you have more potential for not only repeat business, but also for them to tell other people. So to me, it's a win-win. But I'm like you, I wouldn't want to go out there and put the flyers out. I'd rather pay to have it done. And I guess the way you would have to judge that is if you're at least, this is my opinion, if you're at least breaking even, and I would call that a win just because you're getting your name out there, you're getting more known, and you have the potential to pick up other customers off of the customers that you just serviced.
Yeah. I'm gonna keep trying that way because, I mean, my bank, you know, allow me to put flyers in the little, they have these little pouches right inside the bank. Yeah. I do that. Local restaurants will let me do it because, you know, they'll look me up to make sure I'm a legitimate business. They'll let me put my flyers in.
Okay.
Or let me put my cards. And I'm like, yeah, I could do that. So, yeah, I'll probably keep doing that, you know, because for me, it's effective because really the market I'm trying to get is local.
Right.
Because I'll travel to go do some work, but I have to consider the fact that I'm doing all this at home with the caregiving. And I don't want to have to go like to the Northwest side and spend 2 hours in travel and then 3 hours at a job. That's like 5 hours. And then my mom's at home trying to take care of my grandmother. And that's an issue. So I try to kind of keep it short. You know, keep it within us in the area. The only issue with that is that you limit area, you limit potential.
Yes and no. It's one of those things where I only deal with local businesses, and everybody laughs at mine because if it's more than 15 minutes travel time, I don't go. And that's the way I've always done it, no matter what area I've lived in. And I built a business in 2 different areas. So I can have as much work as I possibly want in the area I live in. In the other area I used to live in, I could have as much business as I possibly wanted back then too. So I think there's a lot of untapped market just around us locally. And I really try to, I try to take care of local businesses. I try to use them whenever I can instead of big box stores and stuff like that.
Right.
Now, with that being said, I do buy a lot of stuff off Amazon, so there's that. But, you know, I try to do what I can for the local economy, and I would hope that that would reciprocate and turn around and people would find me, which they do, even if I don't want them to. it sounds like you're doing different types of marketing and stuff like that, and it sounds like you're a traditional business. It sounds to me like you've done a little networking with the Chamber of Commerce, but it sounds like you've got a lot of word of mouth going on there where other people are telling them about your business and you're servicing other customers because of that.
Yeah. And I do go to a lot of different networking events, you know, the city, the business fair, consumer protection, different events they have. I went to Tech Week a couple weeks ago. Oh man, Tech Week. That was lovely. But that was a great whole week. I was tired for like 2 weeks afterwards. But I love the networking. I love to talk to people. And I love to get in things. And what I'm trying to do basically right now is I'm an infrastructure guy. I'm networking, virus removal, security. I'm that guy. And so what I'm trying to do right now is to network and get, you know, a web designer, get a couple of web designers to work with, a couple of programmers to work with, a couple of, you know, people that is doing, you know, different things, so that when I get in a project, that I can just flip the Rolodex and say, okay, I got this guy, this guy, this guy. And we put a project together for a business client. Because right now, I don't think I'm going to end up like growing as getting more employees for maybe another year or so, just because of the fact that I'm trying to balance home and business. And I, you know, I might end up getting two or three more employees. I might, the first one's probably going to be a secretary so I can manage all this stuff. You know, but after that, you know, I don't know if I'm going to pick up another tech yet. You know, because right now I think the work is just good enough for me. I can handle it.
But, you know, I was going to say, one of the things that I always tell people is that, especially for us solo techs, is when you're out there doing it, when it gets to the point in your business where you absolutely cannot take on another customer, you're actually turning customers away because you don't have it that many hours in a day, then I think you can hire somebody to do whatever it is, either do the books, paperwork, whatever it might be, maybe even the tech work, go on site, whatever gap you need filled so that you can grow your business past that point. I think a lot of people really, they're doing okay working by themselves. And then all of a sudden they go, well, I want to go to the next level. And so I want to hire an employee, which is fine. Just understand that when you hire that employee, there's going to be pain for a few months until you get past that. And then you'll have the growth, you'll have the customers coming in. But again, everybody thinks short term in their thought process and they're not thinking long term. So anytime you make a change in your business or add things, take things away, there is a certain amount of pain that you have, but that's okay, because once you get through that, it's a short period of time, you'll be much better off for actually making that move.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing, Jeff. When I started the business, I had no finance and I was bootstrapped. And I'm still bootstrapping to this day. And I have built the philosophy of this. If the amount of money I make per month doesn't pay my recurring bills, I'm not taking on anything else. And I've got right to the point right now that all I have right now is, let me see. All I have now is Tech Suite so I can do my virus removal stuff.
Okay. Yep.
And I have one more service that I use and that's it. And then, so now I know I can make enough to either pay that, break even, or have more. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, it's like, during the summer, it's difficult for me because I used to do cell phone repair. But I had to stop.
Really? Now, why'd you have to stop?
Because the source I had to get digitizers and screens, people were bringing me Samsung S8s. And I'm like, okay, you're going to be paying me like $200 for this digitizer, because that's what the source is saying, $200. And you're going to pay me to put this in. So you want that? And they were like, no. So I was turning people were, you know, getting turned away by the price that I do. And I was trying to buy it on eBay, but I don't trust it. You know, I don't trust the quality of it.
Right.
You know, and so I went to an actual sourcer and I was in it, and they were just, the prices were high. And so I couldn't get a lot of customers. So that would turn people away. But people still come to me now. They're still like, yeah, man, can you do something with this phone? And I'm like, I don't do cell phone screen repair right now.
You know, that's the hard part about it, too. When you have a new phone come out, you're looking at those screens and digitizers are going to be on the expensive side. And then after they've been out for a while, they'll come back down. But then somebody's always getting the latest and greatest thing. The one thing I can't understand is every person I almost... It seems like every person I see has a cracked screen on their cell phone. Yes. And in my head, I'm like, why would you, you know, and I know why the answer is, but why would you have a $500, $600, $700, $800 phone and not spend $20 to put a case on it?
I don't know. And, you know, it's like the first thing I asked was, you got insurance though? Like, what? Like, you can pay the deductible is less than anything else you're going to be doing.
Right.
And I was like, you can pay the deductible and get the screen, get the new phone, get the screen fixed, whatever you're going to do. But you're going to walk around and get the phone outright. Then walk around with it with no, like you said, no protector on it. And then crack the screen and then look at me going, could you fix this for me? Yeah, for like $300.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, for a lot of phones, that's well over a quarter of the price, if not almost half. So, yeah, that's frustrating.
That is frustrating.
So now, you didn't try to just like do iPhones only, maybe some of the older iPhones and stuff like that, and stick with that? Because I know people, some people, regular people, do keep their phones for a good period of time.
Yeah, most of the people that I deal with in this area, they're always getting the latest and greatest. They're always walking up to the house with the S8s and the new iPhones and stuff like that. I get a few that'll have like the older ones that I can get the screens for an inexpensive price. And I'll tell them, I'll say, oh, okay, what you got? Oh, you got this one. Okay, let me look this up. Oh yeah, the screen's only like $11. Oh, okay, let's do it. So I'll take the person on, but I won't tell anybody else I'm doing.
Okay.
You know, because I don't want to get out and people be bringing me S8s and I tell you like that's $300, man. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, and it's not like you're charging the $300. It's that's just what the parts are going for, and then you've got to charge for your service. It's funny because I was doing a DC power jack repair just last weekend, and it was one of those ones where I haven't had one where I've had to desolder and solder it on in like a long time. So this was one of the, it was an Asus. It was a, small form factor laptop. And sure enough, I open it up and I go, oh yeah, I'm going to have to unsolder that and solder that back up. So, that is what I did. And the customer was perfectly happy. And, I was glad because I still remembered how to do it.
I know, right? You don't get those solder jobs too much.
No, not as much anymore. Most of them are the plug and play ones.
Right.
So
you just say, oh yeah, just pull this out, let me go buy this part and then plug it back in. That's a cool thing, you know, because I remember doing stuff back in the day. It's like I open it up and like, oh, I got to solder this. Okay. And I'm telling the guy, I'm like, okay, I gotta get the part, but I have to solder this on. And I'm going to have to go buy the solder iron because I don't have one right now.
Fortunately, I still have my hot air rework station from back in the day, and it still works just fine. So I was able to do that. It's one of those things where I don't really care to do it anymore. And even though it doesn't take me as long as it used to, I still look at it and go, I really should charge more for this service.
Right.
So where did you move? So basically you've gotten your customers, you started with your business, you do a lot of on-site repairs. You said you started getting some businesses. Obviously you do networking and stuff like that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and some of the things that you deal with on a regular basis?
Well, right now, the two main businesses that I'm dealing with right now, one, she's building out a hair salon. And so right now I'm doing her computer that's in the front with her, all her payment systems, you know, hardware, and just trying to get her, all her stuff done on the inside. She already got her internet. So what I'm going to be doing is hooking her TVs up and setting her up. I think she wants to do, Hulu or Netflix or whatever. So I got to get that set. So I'm doing a lot of that stuff. I'm doing that right there. Then I have another client that has an internet radio station. So that's going to be something that I'm going to be constantly working on, constantly, you know, updating the computers, making sure they're running, make sure she uses SAN Broadcaster. So, you know, I got to make sure that's working and that's going on and it's connected. And, you know, I'm doing like this kind of stuff like that right now with my two main business clients. The other ones are usually, you know, I have a lot of them that are one-offs. Or you know, just a couple of things, and then I don't see them for a while. So that's how it is right now.
Okay. No, not only that, I'll tell you what, it sounds interesting. Internet radio station. That just sounds cool to work on, to be honest with you.
It's cool at times. I mean, though, that client, she had to move like twice. she was in two different spots. Every time she moved, she had to get new internet. So I had to deal with the issues with it. Like one, she was in one building that, I'll just go ahead and say it. She was in Chess Records. And, you know, in a recording studio, they have soundproof walls. So I'm trying to get her Wi-Fi to work all through the building. Of course, I got to get the plug-in repeaters to put in, and I got to strategically put it in, and I got to strategically put it in a certain place. Because if I put it in one place, it'll still hit the wall and dead.
Wow. So, okay.
So I have to sit here and put one in, and then I have to test the range, go back, find the next plug, set it up, and then I was doing that all the way into from the front to the back. The internet was in the front. And so I had to do that from the front all the way to the back, and the offices were in the back. But we ended up talking to the cable guy, and we were like, yo, you know, we're having issues with this. And he was like, well, I'm gonna set you up. So he goes in the front, and runs the wire down the side of the building to the back. So the back offices are running fast, because the back offices are running slow.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's, yeah. Now, what brand repeaters were you using?
Oh my God. They were, now I'm lost. Let's see. Oh my God. I can't even remember at the moment.
Okay. That's fine. I just was curious of, you know, what you were able to get to work in that type of environment, because soundproofing rooms, you don't think about it, but yeah, that's going to thicken that whole wall. And then trying to get, you know, any type of wave through there is going to be quite difficult. So,
yeah. Cause there's a part of the wall that's cut so you can see what's in the wall. Mm-hmm. There's like three layers. Then there's a layer of brick, and then there's three more layers going out.
Wow.
There's soundproof layers on each side of the brick. I'm like, we're never going to go through this wall.
Now, what types of things, as far as like residential computers and stuff that you're doing, what types of things are you seeing right now that you're working on?
Mostly people are, I've seen a lot of laptop screen breaking, you know, breaking the screens of the laptops. And I'm like, I asked one lady, I said, how did you do that? She's like, I don't know. I just opened it up one day and it stopped working. I'm like, And I open it up and the ribbon is not even in the socket.
Wow.
And I'm like, did somebody open this up? She's like, no. I'm like, how did it come out? Like, this is mysterious.
Right.
You know, but I have a few of them. I got one right here, right now, that the guy was like, oh, I think the screen's broke. And of course I take it and I'm like, well, it has an HDMI, so let me plug it into another monitor and see if it works. Doesn't work. I said, well, okay, it has an RGB. I'm going to plug in the RGB. Maybe the HDMI doesn't work right off. Put the RGB in. Doesn't work. I said, okay, let me turn this over. Turn it over. I'll take the bottom off, and I turn it on again. I don't see no fans running, no hard drive starting up. I'm like, man, this is gone.
No, like, motherboard. Yeah, that's and people don't know how to tell you exactly what's wrong. They just know that it's not working. And that's where, I guess, from my standpoint, I would rather the customer just say, my computer is broken. Here's what it's doing. Not turning on. I can't see a picture on a screen or whatever. And just let us diagnose it and find out what's wrong. But, you know, they'll go, oh, I've got this wrong, and I believe I've got that wrong, and they don't know.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that I had some clients that were home-based business. I had a one that was in the real estate, and she ended up getting ransomware. And she calls me, and I'm like half asleep. I wake up, I'm like, oh, yes, what's going on? And she's like, oh, my computer, I see the files deleting before my eyes. And I'm thinking like, huh? And, you know, I'm like, okay. And she's like, I'm on my way out to go to Best Buy. I'm like, you're on the way to go to Best Buy, but you call me? Okay, what are you going to do? I'm going to Best Buy. And she hangs up to go. So I get a call back from her. She's mad at me because she went to Best Buy and something happened badly. I'm not even going to go into the story.
Oh, but, no.
but something bad that happens, and she doesn't have anything. They can't do anything for her. Sorry. You know, and I'm like, well, even if you send it to me, I'm going to tell you something. It probably would have been the same thing.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because at the point, she said she clicked on something in the email, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything started. I'm like, we are done right there. Because even if I take it and don't turn it on, because that's what happened over there, and don't turn it on and pull your drive out and then try to mount it to something place else, it's still going to end up not being able. I'm still not going to be able to access anything. It's like, you know, I might be able to get a few things if you cut it off in time, but you were saying it was deleting it before your eyes, so I already know what's happening. You're already getting the files encrypted. It was just switching. You were just seeing the switch physically, but it was already encrypted.
Right. Yeah, that's... people don't understand, and when we tell them to back up, they go, well, why do I need to back up? Well, I don't know. How would you feel if you lost all the stuff that was on this computer right now? Well, I'd feel pretty bad. That's why you need to back up.
Yeah, and this client didn't want to do... She didn't want to pay for backup. She didn't feel the need to pay for backup. And I'm like, you have to. If you're going to do cloud service and you're going to put some data on somebody else's computer, that's like you going to the storage facility and putting some stuff in the storage. You got to pay for it.
Right. Yeah, it's... Well, and here's the thing. There probably are free ways for a lot of people to do it. The problem is with those free ways, they're not going to do it. And that's the problem. Because if it's set up, a lot of times whatever is set up is broken and you don't really know. So and then just getting to the point of setting it up. And that's why I really, you know, a lot of these other services that are out there that do an automatic backup on the fly when you're online, you make a change to a file, it backs that next file up. And so it has the old file plus a new file you just changed. And that way, if something happens, you can at least go back and retrieve that stuff. Where having somebody do something manually, it's going to get forgotten most of the time.
Mm-hmm. And I thought about going into doing backup, but I think I'm going to just do it for my clients because that's really an intensive thing to start to have like online backup for people because that, where am I going to put that computer at? I don't even have a shop right now.
Right.
So I'm like, no, I think I'll do it for my clients because I have a non-server in the house that I can split out a drive for my clients. And give my clients access so I can be able to back up their stuff. So I think I could probably do that, you know, and I said, I'm going to do that for my clients because it's important. I tell people all the time, I'm in my blogs on Facebook business, everywhere. And I'm telling people all the time, you got to back up. You have to back up because it's the most important thing right now with ransomware running the way it is. I mean, they're running ransomware as a service.
Right.
So you know it's going to happen again.
Well, and a lot of times, too, when somebody brings me a computer that's crashed, I don't even tell them. Back in the day, I used to tell them, probably 98% of the time I can get your data back with software because I can usually boot it up on another machine, and it's not so far gone that it's perfectly fine.
Right.
But I don't even tell them. I'm like, you know, you know what? I don't know if I can get it back or not, but I'll take a look at it and see what's going on. And then if I get it back, hey, I look great. If not, I had already set them up at the point of I'm probably not getting my stuff back.
Right. So yeah, you can't have them all optimistic that you're going to pull off this miracle, and then you don't, and then they're upset.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting road that I've gone down to get where I'm at, and now that I'm here, it's like, I feel good about myself because I've been to networking events and I thought that, you know, I needed to go here to find out this. And I would get there and hear stuff that I already knew. And when I went to Tech Week, I talked to a guy and I said, man, I listened to everything you said and everything you said, I already kind of knew already. And I was like, he kind of made me feel reassuring that I know what I'm doing. Because that was one thing. I was always, like, you know, bashful to say that I knew what I was doing. And now I've gotten to the point, I know what I'm doing. I got this. I'm more confident in myself.
And that's good. And that's part of doing this business and also just doing the work over and over again. We can all get good at whatever we do. And I try to tell my kids this, or really even other people too, is that there are a lot of times where you'll get in your car and you won't even remember exactly how you got home. And the reason for that is hopefully not because you've been drinking, but hopefully the reason is because you've done it so often that it is just, you just go through the motions because you've been driving for so long, it really becomes second nature. And that is this, that is the way that running a business is. That is the way that doing this work is. There's a lot of people out there go, I could never do that. Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Now, what you're really saying is, I don't want to learn to do that. Okay, that would be a true statement.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's good. I'm glad that, and it sounds like the networking events overall kind of helped bring up that confidence level. And a lot of times I will tell people too, is that we know a lot more than what we think we know.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's always good to be, you know, a fair bit humble too. So don't follow my example, but for the regular people out there, it's good. And I always like it in the business when you get a win and you've got a happy customer, and when it makes you feel good that you're doing a good job and you're taking care of that customer, that's what I call a win, regardless of the money or anything like that. Right. It's that feeling and satisfaction of doing what you know you can do to the best of your ability.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I want to do, is that I want to be able to provide the service to the best of my ability to the customer satisfaction. I mean, the money's going to come with it. Of course, I'm going to charge right. I'm not going to short sell myself, you know, whatever. But that's the end thing, is that I want to be able to satisfy the customers that I'm, the clients that I'm working for.
Absolutely. Well, Kenneth, I'll tell you what, let's end off here a little bit, but let's go over maybe, do you have any favorite tools? I know you mentioned TechSuite already and other things you were using, but are there any favorite tools, hardware, software-wise, things that you use in your business on a regular basis that you go, I could not run my business without this?
Well, I'm going to tell you, number one is TechSuite, because before then, I was downloading, you know, Hitman Pro and all this other stuff, and it was killing my time. You know, I mean, but I love Hitman Pro. I do Malware Bytes. You know, that's for me putting it on clients' computers for clients to use it. What other stuff do I use? Oh my God, I can't even name. I've used everything in the book, pretty much. And I don't have a all out favorite. I kind of just use what works.
I hear you there.
You
now,
know what I'm saying?
Now, what do you use anything for backing up a client's computer before you do anything with it?
I'm gonna tell you the truth. I used to do it by hand like crazy. Because it was just easy. When I started using software, I'm like, okay, I got to learn how to use this. No, I just do this. And I would do that. Right now, it's, what is the name of the tool on TechSuite? I can't even remember the name of the tool. But see, that messes me up now that I'm using TechSuite, because I never remember what tool it is.
Right. Well, you know, and that happens because a lot of that stuff is all pre-set up and ready to go there. So,
right. So yeah, that you know what I'm saying? I just did it all by hand. And then when I got TechSuite, I was like, oh, wait, I can use this.
Right. Now I would, I even remember way back when I bought Fabs Auto Backup way back in the day during these earlier versions. Right. And I remember I would use the program, but I would also do a manual hand backup, where I drag and drop the files and folders onto a drive. So I had two backups, and it wasn't until it was a short while after that where I started using FABs all the time. And that's like my go-to tool, because I basically plug in the drive, hit a couple buttons, boom, here you go. It goes on my internal drive on my bench computer, done. And then I drag it over and put it on an external drive so that I have two copies at the same time before I replace a hard drive, do a wipe and reload or whatever it is. And then once I'm done, I'll take that back over, run FABs again, and puts everything right back where it was. So to me, that is a huge time saver in my business. And I don't know what I'd do without that program, to be honest with you. I'd be doing it manually is what I'd be doing.
Yeah. And then I did also use GoldSmith certain time, yeah. You know, back in the day. Yep. You know, I used that. I forget what it was, some other tool that I used to make ISOs, and I can't remember offhand what the name of it was. So okay. I would do that. You know, if I was like, okay, I gotta change out a drive. You know, drive's bad, but I can get the data. So I get the data all put in an ISO. You know. Get the new drive, then just drop the ISO, boom, it's there. You know, that's what I would do with Ghost and some other stuff that I have. So, right. Yeah, I was doing some stuff like that. But, like, you know, like the minor backups, like where I'm just trying to get stuff out of their personal folder. I don't have to worry about settings. Because a lot of people that I dealt with in residential, they didn't worry about all the settings. And they were like, Ken, I just want my pictures.
Right, yes.
So you're just like, okay, well, I'll get your pictures off and I'll get your documents off. And that's manual. It's kind of easy. You know, you just grab the folder and just throw it over into an external and you're done. Let it run and it goes. So that's kind of the reason why I didn't use a lot of tools, because when I was doing residential, it was easy. It was just save your documents.
Right, right.
You know, but now that I'm in doing business and it happened lately and I've had TechSuite since then, that's pretty much, I've been using the tool within TechSuite.
Okay. Very cool. Very interesting. All right. So what are some of your business tips that you would tell the audience? Because obviously you've been building your business for a while, and I'm sure you've learned some things not to do and probably some more things to do, or maybe even looking back that you would do a little bit differently.
I'll tell you, the first one was... I used to short sell myself. I used to not charge what I was worth because I felt like, oh, you know, I got these guys out here. Like, there's guys out here right now that make six figures doing tech work at whatever company. And what they'll do is they'll get somebody's computer and say, oh, just give me $20 to fix it. And so people got used to that. And so when I come in, they're like, oh, what? You want me to pay that much? No. And I used to short sell. But my doctor, I was working for my doctor one day doing some tech work for him at his office. And I gave him the price. And he was like, that's not the price. What's the real price? And I tell him the real price. He's like, okay. And he writes out for the price that I tell him. And he looked at me and he says, never short sell yourself. You have skills and you're supposed to get paid for them.
That was a very smart person there. Yes. Yeah, that's we all do that in the beginning. I think we all start off where we love what we do and we think it's worth X amount. See, the problem is people look at it like this. We believe that somebody, because we're in this, a lot of us are in this job mentality. We believe that somebody is paying us for actual time,
mm-hmm.
and our time, our personal time.
Right.
And that's not what they're paying for. What they are paying for is the years of experience and education to fix the problem that they needed fixed.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand. So we all start off that way where we charge too little and then we got to move our prices up at some point. And then a lot of customers will leave and that's fine because you turn around and you go, oh, wait a minute. I have less work. I made more money. This is like backwards.
Right.
And you don't realize it until you actually do those things and make that happen. So,
exactly.
But it's a lesson we all learn. It's something we all go through, I think.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'll say one more thing. I think when you're going into business, you should always go out and find your like minds that do different things that are different than you, and get in a group and kind of just talk your way through stuff. Like if you got a bunch of friends that are going into business, get in a group and discuss your issues with one another, because trying to do it on your own and trying to I'm going to get this knowledge off the internet and try to do this, and then not bouncing it off somebody, it doesn't resonate the same way. Because I think I did it at the beginning by myself, and now I'm with a group, and we talk to each other every week, and we say what our advances are in our business and where we need to go, and we encourage one another. And it's a really good thing to be in a small group of people that are for you and you're for them.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a great tip right there. And it really does help to be around like-minded people. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Kenneth, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us. And I'll tell you what, if you wanted to let everybody know maybe how they could get in contact with you, if they had some questions or just wanted to chat with you, what would be the best way to do that?
On my Facebook business page, Lindsay Tech Services, you can email me at kenneth@lindsaytech.com. And my Twitter account is Lindsay Tech. So you can get me in any way of those ways.
All right. And we will definitely have that information in the show notes. So I appreciate you coming out and sharing with us today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. If you guys want to find me, you can find me over on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Halish or Twitter at TechNutPC. If you'd like to be a guest like Kenneth was, send an email to guest@podnuts.com. I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. Don't forget, if you need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNable Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com/deals. Help support the Podnuts Network by giving $1 a month through our subscribe button over at podnuts.com or patreon.com/podnuts. I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.